All our efforting paid off because here is our guest, a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, the host of the Full 48 podcast, very good friend of the program, and still the reigning Red Vine King of the entire association, Howard Beck joins us. Howard, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Romy. What is up?
Howard, always good to talk to you, but especially today, couldn't wait to get your thoughts on Jason Kidd. Let me start right there. I bring this up because Jason Kidd was named as a member of the Hall of Fame class of 2018, and you spent some time recently with him, Howard, which is significant because that was the first extended interview that he has done since he was fired in Milwaukee. So first off, how did the conversation come to be, and how well did you know him before you sat down with him?
You know, it's funny, Jim, because I never covered Jason on a day-to-day basis in my beat writing days. I covered a couple months of his 1 year with the Knicks. Didn't know each other that well, but we've had our conversations intersected here and there over the years. I, like a lot of people, I'm sure, had put out feelers through channels back when he got fired, saying, listen, I'm sure he's laying low for a bit, but if and when he's ready to talk, would love to chat with him. He could come on the podcast. We could sit down, whatever it may be. And then, you know, it was kind of, no, he's laying low. And then a few weeks back, heard back that, listen, he is ready to chat. And though you guys don't know each other well, maybe this is actually the best way for him to kind of reemerge, put his voice back out there. I think because of the fact that, you know, I think it was clear to Jason and some folks around him that I wasn't going to go easy on him, for one. And I was, you know, not, you know, we didn't have an established relationship one way or the other, neither pro nor con. And so I think that probably helped. So we spent some time together. I went out to Phoenix. He's living outside of Phoenix. We had breakfast and just, you know, BS for a while. Just got to know each other for a bit. We both got Bay Area roots. We just talked about growing up in the Bay Area. Talked a little bit about, you know, just basketball stuff. And it was really comfortable. It was the most I'd ever really chatted with Jason, just informally. Then we went back to his home, sat in the backyard for a while on a very nice 80-degree day or so in Phoenix while it was freezing back here in New York.
Right.
And then we had the interview. And I presented to him. I said, listen, I've been making calls. These are the things I've heard from folks in Milwaukee. These are the things I've heard from folks in Brooklyn. This is where people think you might have gone wrong or off track or didn't quite know how to handle situations. And to his credit, I thought he was – He addressed all that very well, not defensive, but did defend himself, and people took that, you know, through whatever lens they wanted to.
Howard Beck joining us. All right, so Jason Kidd is one of the few people, Howard, to make that transition from playing to coaching immediately, and he was one of the all-time great players. That means he's never been involved in basketball or never not been involved in basketball for essentially his entire life. Now that he's had a little bit of time to reflect, where do you think he is in terms of his time as a head coach?
I think he feels more comfortable with his abilities as a head coach now. I mean, I think, while he didn't say it outright, you know, I asked him probably three different ways. Were you ready for this? Was it too soon? Because personally, I don't think a guy is ready. As smart as Jason Kidd is about the game, as steeped in the game as he is, as great of a playing career as he had, the idea of taking off your jersey, putting on a coat and tie, and saying I'm the head coach now, just weeks later, days later, I'm not sure is the best path. It didn't work out that well for him, although he rallied in Brooklyn that year, and it didn't work out that well for Derek Fisher, who did something similar, going straight from playing for the Thunder to coaching the Knicks. Now, that said, of course, nobody can succeed coaching the Knicks, but. You know, I think Jason realizes that there were some things he didn't know about how to put together a staff, about just the day-to-day organizing of the team, structure of practices, all those things it takes some time to get up to speed on. I think he's in a better place now. And I think, you know, look, the record is mixed, to say the least, in Milwaukee. But I also think that team, to a point that Jason Kidd has made, that team is young, and it is still trying to find its identity. And I don't know that, you know, that anybody coaching that team right now would have anything more than an up and down ride, because that's who they are. That's who the roster is. So, you know, if Jason Kidd is hired again, and I don't know if there's any guarantee that that's going to happen, but if Jason Kidd gets another crack in this next round of coach hirings, I think he'll be a much better equipped and more mature version of himself than he was when he jumped right into it in Brooklyn a few years back.
We're talking to Howard Beck. So one final thought on that. When you made your phone calls and you heard what people had to say about him, I'm sure one of the raps that came back was he just pushed guys too hard. Like, he would point to his own career and to the careers of guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, who work like crazy. Was he expecting players to put in the same level of work that he put in? And is that too high of an expectation?
Yes and yes. And though he was reflective about that, he didn't exactly concede the point. Like, I think he feels like he's still right to do that. And so if you're going to hire him, I think that's what you're buying into. You're going to have to either get assurance from him in the interview that he's ready to moderate his own impulses a little bit, or maybe you want that. Maybe you think that that's what your team needs, and maybe you also have to go into realizing that a coach who takes that tack, who is relentless, who is that taxing and demanding, they sometimes have a shelf life. And, you know, that's why we saw Scott Skiles burn teams out back in the day. We've heard rumblings about that with Tibbs, not only in Chicago, but even with the current team in Minnesota. You hear that from folks around the league sometimes, that that style of coaching might have a limited impact in today's NBA and with today's NBA players. And so, you know, is Jason Kidd going to moderate that a little bit? Or is that just going to be his style? And are you, and do you have the kind of team that can take that? And maybe you need a more veteran team for that. Maybe the young guys just don't respond to that, or at least don't respond to it year after year. So we'll see. But, you know, there's that aspect of it, Jim, and there's also this, that Jason, while I found him to be much more personable and engaging when we sat down a couple weeks ago, in general, his persona on the sidelines, in practices, with players and with the media, he's kind of always had this, like, distance, this bit of distance that he puts between himself and you, whoever you may be. I don't know that he has learned to get to balance that out. You know, we talk about how Pop has got this ability to be so demanding of his players and tear into him at times, but then put that arm around him, give him a hug, give him some encouragement. You have to be able to do both, and I don't know if Jason Kidd has found that right balance yet. To give his guys, you know, some tough love along with just the tough driving directives.
You know, it really is a fascinating point that you make, Howard, because I've known him a long, long time. And I, even as a media guy, I've always had a very good relationship with him. But he can be guarded, he can be intimidating, and he may not be that guy to ever put your arm around you. But I knew him. I've told the story a million times, Howard, but he came on my show the night after Everett came over the table when he was coming out of Cal. And I'll never forget Jason Kidd. Number one, he could have come off the show. He could have canceled, and he did not. And I'll never forget that he did the interview and then walked off the set and looked back at me and said, "Hey, Rome, good luck with those phone calls," and gave me a little bit of a wink. And he and I have always had a really good relationship. So I think that maybe even if he's not there yet in terms of putting that arm around that guy and saying, "Hey, I get it. I understand you and it." That's not to say that he won't get there. You'd probably agree with that. Now, a guy who does understand that, of course, is Steve Kerr. You had him on your podcast a few weeks back. This has not been the easiest season for Golden State, but then again, Kerr would not expect sympathy from anybody at all. What's your sense of what he's made of the season they've had thus far?
It's interesting. I think, you know, when you get to this point in that run with the Warriors, whether you're Steve Kerr, whether you're Bob Myers, whether you're one of those core players, I think there's a certain zen that just comes with it. Like, we've been to three straight finals. We've won two championships. Sure, we've had kind of a weird up-and-down season. Yeah, we've had some injuries. Yeah, we don't know what Steph is going to look like in, you know, in the playoffs or when he's back. But I get the sense, and, you know, it was a few weeks ago that I was out there, and so they've been through some more since then. I get the sense that the Warriors, they can afford to have a more relaxed is maybe the wrong word, but like just this zen mentality. They know who they are. They know what they're capable of. They know they've still got probably the best trio of players, even without Steph. So, you know, they're ahead of the game in that regard. But I think they also know that the Rockets may present the stiffest challenge they've had since this run began. And, you know, I think we're all looking forward to that eventual showdown, assuming it happens. But I don't get the sense that the Warriors are sweating anything that's happened so far. They know that the real season begins a week from Saturday, a week from Sunday probably for them. And then we'll see. But we are going into this postseason with the Warriors with that huge question mark. When is Steph coming back? What's he going to look like? Can he get back to 100%?
All right, so where does that leave us? And a final thought from you. If you had to say right now, how do you see the Western Conference playoffs going? Are the Rockets now the team to beat, or is Golden State the title favorite until somebody does beat them?
No, I think the Warriors are still the team to beat. And it's not just the proverbial, hey, you know, you got to favor them until someone beats them and you give them that because they're the defending champion. There's part of that. But it's also just the fact that there are only a few, like, true, like, just, you know, mutant superstars in this game. And Durant is one of those guys. And, you know, even without Steph, you've got an MVP caliber player there in Durant who is pretty much unguardable. And I know the Rockets, they can switch everything and they got all these, you know, 6'7", 6'8" guys that they can put on him. I still think that a Warriors team that has been there, that has is proven, that has established chemistry and still has three All-Stars is still the odds-on favorite. And by the way, you know, we haven't completely lost track of the fact that, that Chris Paul, James Harden do not have great postseason resumes of their own. And until we see otherwise from them, it's fair to wonder whether they're going to be different this time.
No, we have not lost track of that fact at all. All right, so one last thought then. In the East, how different, Howard, are the 76ers without Joel Embiid? And if he comes back quickly, could they make any noise in their first year in the postseason?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like this, but a week ago, and it was unfortunately just the day before Embiid went down, I did one of our spotlight videos in which I said, listen, there's a path to the Eastern Conference Finals for the Sixers, which I would rarely say about a young team that's never even been in the playoffs before. But there's a path because the East is really unsettled, because the Sixers still have a shot to get home court in the first round, and because all of these teams have blemishes. There are just no sure things in the East right now. And, yeah, if you draw the Cavs in the second round, you know, I'm going to probably put my money on LeBron over anybody. But the Sixers, with Embiid, can make a run, a good run. Without Embiid, you know, Ben Simmons is still phenomenal, and he's going to do some great things for that team, but you just don't have that 1-2 punch that you need to make a deep run. But they have the talent and the shooting, and I think just those intangibles that make them a potential really fun team in the playoffs that could put together a run. But they got to get Embiid back, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be.
He was the guy who got the first sit-down interview with Jason Kidd after he was fired, a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, the host of the Full 48 podcast, good friend of the program, and once again, the reigning emperor for the Red Vines of the NBA. Howard Beck, my guest. Howard, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks, man.
Nice job, Howard. Howard Beck, the Red Vine King of the association. All right, when we return, I've got some thoughts. I might finish that thought on the Masters. Slump busting. Yeah, I'd bang telephone calls if they were there. We had one monster call earlier today. Mark in Hollywood. Check out my Facebook page if you want to relive that great moment. And don't forget, Podcast Tuesday is Podcast Monday, but it drops. In fact, it already dropped. Elk did the podcast, finally, Steve Elkington, and that is available for you to check out anytime you want. You should wait until after the show is over and then do it and give it the time that it deserves.